WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by T-Mobile Business Advantage.
Michael Wallace, Israel is warning Tehran will burn if Iran continues to launch missiles at Israel. The BBC's Hugo Bashega reports missiles were fired at Tel Aviv and Jerusalem.
It was a long night of attacks across the country. Sirens sounded, alerting people of the threat from Iranian missiles. There were loud explosions here early in the morning in Jerusalem as the air defense systems tried to intercept some of those missiles that had been fired by Iran. One of those missiles hit a residential area in a city south of Tel Aviv.
At least three people were killed there. Iran says 78 people have been killed by Israel strikes. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu addressed the people of Iran after attacking their country, urging them to rise up against their government.
We're in the midst of one of the greatest military operations in history. And as we achieve our objectives, we're also clearing the path for you to achieve your objective, which is freedom.
CBS's Sam Vinograd says it's too soon to tell how effective Israel strikes have been.
We're still waiting for the battlefield assessment when it comes to Iranian nuclear stockpiles and attacks on nuclear sites. But Iran was closer to a nuclear weapon before these Israeli strikes than it ever was before.
Israel claims it has killed nine of Iran's nuclear scientists. Tel Aviv's airport is closed, as has the airspace over several Middle East countries. CBS News Pentagon reporter Eleanor Watson has a preview of today's military parade in Washington, celebrating the Army's 250th birthday.
Soldiers dressed in Revolutionary War uniforms to the Army's main battle tanks, which weigh in at 80 tons apiece. Nearly 7,000 soldiers will march along Constitution Avenue from the Lincoln Memorial to the Washington Monument, passing the White House, where President Trump, on his 79th birthday, will be watching from a reviewing stand.
Last night, U.S. Capitol Police arrested dozens of people who were protesting the parade and the deployment of National Guard troops in Los Angeles. No King's Day protests against Trump and his policies will be held in hundreds of cities across the country today. In Texas, Governor Greg Abbott has deployed 5,000 National Guard troops to keep order at those demonstrations. A portable cell phone charger is being recalled.
More than 1 million power banks are under recall across the U.S. after some fires and explosions are reported by consumers. Electronics maker Anker is recalling certain PowerCore 10,000 power banks because the lithium-ion battery inside can overheat, posing fire and burn risks. The Consumer Product Safety Commission says those who bought the chargers are urged to stop using them immediately and contact Anker for a free replacement. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News.
The company says it's received 19 reports of fires or explosions and two minor burn injuries. This is CBS News.
If you're 55 and up, T-Mobile has plans built just for you. Get the savings you want on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/choice55 and start saving today.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Shally Pittman. Southwest Wisconsin is seeing a surge in clean energy, emerging as a hotbed for large-scale renewable projects. Proponents say they're economically benefiting the community. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
About 10% of Wisconsin's electricity is from renewable sources. The industry employs about 6,500 people and invests $15.5 million a year in property, state, and local taxes, and more than $15 million annually in land lease payments. Caden Krapp with the Wisconsin Land and Liberty Coalition says along with the economic benefits, clean energy has the potential to provide the state with autonomy.
One of the biggest benefits that including these renewable energies into the state grid can bring is that we can start becoming a net exporter by being able to create our own Wisconsin-grown energy and be able to distribute it to other states as well.
A number of proposed projects are slated for the area, including the Whitetail Energy Center, the Badger Hollow Wind Energy Center, and the Uplands Wind Project. Each is projected to generate millions of dollars annually and collectively produce hundreds of megawatts of energy to power homes and businesses across the state. Amy Seaboth Wilson with Southwest Wisconsin Technical College says the school is leading the pack in innovation. She says it offers degrees to prepare students for the rising industry. The renewable energy influx has faced some controversy, with critics saying they replace some of the state's agricultural uses. Opponents say less than 2% of Wisconsin's 14 million acres of agricultural land would be needed to reach the state's clean energy goals. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
For Civic Media News, I'm Sholly Pittman.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs near 66. Clear tonight, 57. Sunshine and near 70 for Sunday. On Monday, a scattered shower or thunderstorm. Otherwise, partly sunny with highs in the low 70s. On Tuesday, scattered showers and storms, 81.
It's 57 at our studios.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will recap all the news from over the weekend and wrap it up with audio sorbet and This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
This is Aaron, Todd's producer. Thank you for joining us for this weekend's edition of the Best of the Todd Albaugh Show. We had some really great shows this week and conversations with a lot of different people. You can check all of that out by going to civicmedia.us/shows or anywhere else you get your podcasts. Today, though, we're going to start out with Wednesday's conversation with Dan Schaefer, founder of the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media political editor. He recently wrote an article that might be a little bit of a controversial opinion on his website, in which he details the reasons why he doesn't think Tony Evers should run for a third term as governor. Listen in to find out why.
There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man.
Milwaukee's best.
It's a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity.
Hey man, what about Milwaukee, man?
It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition.
I think God would want us to go to Milwaukee.
And it lies between the pit of a man's fears and the summit of his knowledge.
What do you think about Milwaukee?
This is the dimension of imagination. You are now entering the Recombobulation Area.
The founder of the Recombobulation Area, also our political editor here at Civic Media. And I said this, I think, yesterday on the show, Dan Schaefer, that Maggie Gow and Britt Cutterback from the governor's office are probably going to need to spend some time there, because after what you wrote, they're probably feeling a little discombobulated.
I like how you set that one up, Todd. That's good stuff.
How are you?
But yeah, what do you want to talk about today, Todd?
For those that don't know, Dan debuted yesterday at the Recombobulation Area, and please go there and subscribe at www. And I'm told now by people smarter than me, you must use the
www.therecombobulationarea.news.
That's it.
There we go.
I was trying to help. I just messed things up. But anyway, go there, therecombobulationarea.news, resubscribe. It's fantastic. And yesterday, Dan Schaefer, you published an op-ed in which you made a little bit, as Dan, as Bob Schieffer at CBS likes to say, made a little bit of news.
Made a little bit of news, stirring the pot a little bit. Decided to go out and plant a flag on this one. I wrote the title of the piece is called Pass the Torch. Tony Evers should not run for a third term as governor. Basically, the larger premise of the piece is that Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have not done and step aside when the time is right. And I think Evers, who will be 75 in November 2026 when he is on the ballot, when he would be on the ballot if he decides to seek a third term, I think it would be the best decision for him now to step aside and pass the torch to the next generation of leaders in Wisconsin.
I've seen it. It's very well written, as you always do. I think it's very thoughtful. Did you come to write this just from your own thoughts, or is this based on your reporting, the people, the sources you've talked to within the Democratic Party, with outside, and just thinking, you know, I'm not sure this guy has a real shot again?
Well, you know, I've talked to a number of people as I put this together. I've had this in the works for a while. It's something I've been thinking about quite a bit. And I think it is very much colored by what happened with Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, the debate, the dropout, everything connected to it. But I think it is beyond that. I think, I think Evers could still be a very strong candidate if he does run again. But I also think there is a whole lot of risk involved with running a candidate in his mid-70s for an important office like this. And you know, I'm not saying there is a direct one-to-one comparison between Tony Evers and Joe Biden. You know, Joe Biden was a particularly unpopular president. Tony Evers is a popular purple state governor. But I think Democrats have to recognize that they have had a real problem with this. It's not just Biden. You know, there have been 8 congressional Democrats since 2022 who have died in office. 3 since last fall's election. You know, at what point are Democrats going to stand up and recognize that they have a problem here and actually pass the torch to the next generation of leaders? And I think back to, you know, 2007, 2008, I think part of what was so thrilling about Barack Obama's rise at the time is because it seemed like he was ushering in this new generation of leadership, that Democrats seemed like the party of the future. I don't think you can really say that about the Democratic Party right now. It's not just Biden. It's not just these other folks who have spent too much time in office. You know, even just look at the U.S. Senate. There are more senators over the age of 75 than there are senators younger than the age of 50. And of those senators who are over 75, I think 9 of 12 of them are Democrats. Mm-hmm. And this has been such a problem for the party. I don't see how we are not having this conversation about Evers, about passing the torch.
So what's your writing this article at the recombobulation area, what's your biggest concern, Dan? Is it really about what could happen to Evers personally? Like, hey, you know, let's get a little long on the tooth here. Anything could happen. Let's avoid having the possibility or a greater possibility of a Biden-esque moment. Or are you using kind of Evers as the, holy crap, we as the Democratic Party here are the Democratic Party, we just need to move on?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think there is also an element of this that by staying on for another term, it stymies the other larger development of the party. And I think there have been some other moments where the Democratic bench has not been as strong. I think there are a number of qualified candidates who would be, you know, throwing their hats into the ring if Evers decides not to run. And I think, you know, given the larger dynamics of kind of the history of a midterm election, given the field of Republicans, which I think is really poor right now, that could be running for governor in a couple of years, I think the time is right to pass the torch and, you know, let the next generation of leaders rise. And I think there's also this problem, too, that Democrats have, to their detriment, gone out of their way to avoid a primary. I think, you know, everything that happened with Kamala Harris last year was, you know, considering the timeline and everything, it was an acceptable enough process, but it still wasn't a particularly good one. I think we would have been better off having the voters decide. I think that would also have been the case had we had a more competitive primary in the 2022 Senate race. I think there is this kind of iron sharpens iron quality of having, you know, more competitive primaries that Democrats, to their detriment, have avoided. And as so many people are looking for, you know, what should be the next path forward for Democrats? Who's the Joe Rogan of the left? Should we go with abundance or populism or whatever it is? How about we just have the voters decide? How about we get back to that small D democratic principles and putting it to the voters and letting the people decide?
We're talking with Dan Schaefer, the founder of the Recombobulation Area. You can check him out at www.therecombobulationarea.news. Please subscribe. It's a great publication. He is also our political editor here at Civic Media, talking specifically about an op-ed he wrote yesterday and published calling for Governor Evers not to run for a third term. Dan, I'm enormously entertained by this and intrigued by it. Like I say, it's really well written. But here we have, and you've been pretty open about this, that, you know, you lean more Democratic when it comes to just your political ideology. Me, a former Republican who left the party in 2011, but has voted Democratic ever since. And you would think maybe, well, Todd would be all, this is great. I mean, Todd would be all for it. I'm generally a pot stirrer. But here now, I guess maybe it's my old school in me, because I'm not quite there yet. I mean, if Evers is on the ticket, yes, I'm going to support him regardless of because I think that there's nobody on the Republican side who's not a sycophant, a genuflector to Trump. And I think that's dangerous. But here's my concern, Dan Schaefer. And I was listening to you filling in for Maggie Dawn with Angela Lang and Matt Rothschild yesterday. You all did a fantastic job. And I thought Angela Lang said something really interesting. And correct me, because I'm going to paraphrase it as I recall it. She said something along the lines of, and she's a longtime organizer in the Milwaukee area. She said something along the lines of, I think in this time of Trump and kind of extremist rightism, that there's a lot of Democrats, particularly in the progressive base, who don't want a centrist anymore, who don't want this kind of milk toastiness, that they want somebody harder on the left. And that's my concern, that if Evers doesn't run, there's going to be this wide open Democratic primary, and that the progressive base is going to nominate more of a lefty who is not going to sit well in a general election. And then we get that idiot showman or somebody else in the governor's seat. And then it's, you know, Katie bar the door. Here we go.
Well, I think my issues with Evers have never really been like a real ideological difference or a you know, policy differences. But I think if, you know, just the short list of candidates that I mentioned on there, would you pluck out any of them to say that they are particularly far left? So I'll just run through the list quickly. Attorney General Josh Call, State Senator Kelda Royce, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski. I'm probably missing some. And you know, soon to be former chair Ben Wickler. Is there anybody in that group that you would consider to be part of like the progressive left-leaning wing of the party that you think might have trouble with in, you know, capturing some voters like yourself, some more independent-minded kind of towards the center?
I think I'm a bad example because I've just been through too much politically. Otherwise, I'm going to vote for the Democratic nominee, whoever that is, because I'm opposed to Trumpism. And I don't think there's anybody in Wisconsin Republican politics that's a possibility candidate for governor who's not part of Trumpism. So I'm a poor example. I will say people in, as they say, outstate, people not in Milwaukee and Madison, people in more rural areas of the state. To answer your question directly, I've had the pleasure of meeting all the people that you mentioned. They're all fine with me. There's nobody there I personally have a problem with. What I'm concerned about is to win the Democratic primary, how far left do they have to go? What position? I mean, Josh Call, I mean, he's seen as milquetoast. He didn't go after the fake electors in Wisconsin. I don't think he can win a Democratic primary. Kelda Royce, I think she's very smart, a great senator. She has been a little bit outstate, but I don't know how she's going to play statewide. She lost the primary once for a governor in the Democratic primary. Sarah Godlewski, I think she's fine. I hear her husband has financial issues that could come up in a general election. That may stymie her. I think Sarah Rodriguez is fantastic. That would be my pick. But you know, she's not super well known right now. Of course, that can be solved with money. Guess what? Who else do we leave out? Ben Wickler, fantastic chair. We're going to get to that in a minute. I think he should be DNC chair still. But, you know, he's never been an actual elected official. How does that play? So there's just a lot of unknowns. And in a time in our state where Governor Evers' veto pen is the only thing keeping us from being Florida or Texas politically, do we want to take that chance?
Well, I think, you know, we can't be so risk averse that people are afraid of their own voters, right? I think, you know, to want to control the scenario as much as I think some do, I think that, you know, gives fewer opportunities to really have the conversation. We don't know how these candidates might run until the rubber hits the road, until this goes from the hypothetical to the reality. And I think, again, we can't be so risk averse that we're afraid that Democrats are afraid of their own voters.
Back with more after this is the All Ball Show on Civic Media.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cow's milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant, 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of our cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Celebrating our dairy farmers with this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill, backed by Donald Trump, that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uline. In 2018 alone, the Ulines received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
On the Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show, here's the rest of Todd's conversation with Dan Schaefer, Civic Media political editor and founder of the Recombobulation Area, on why he does not think that Tony Evers should run for a third term as governor.
He's here live and in person directly out of the Recombobulation Area. Mr. Dan Schaefer, the founder of the Recombobulation Area and also our political editor here at Civic Media. You can see all of his work and please subscribe at www.therecombobulationarea.news. Talking about this great article he wrote yesterday, op-ed calling for Governor Evers not to seek re-election. Off of the YouTube channel, Tony says, "I'm generally anti-older candidates." Gee, thanks, Tony. "But Evers feels a little different. I really love the guy." Dan, people really do love him. I mean, his last Marquette Law School poll, his numbers are like still 60-plus likability, favorability.
Wasn't quite that high, but he is very well-liked among Wisconsin Democrats. He is among the more popular politicians in the state. He has had demonstrated that he does have some crossover appeal, but, you know, at a certain point, you know, that was also the case for another former Wisconsin Democratic politician who I used as an example in this piece, too. So one of the things that I talked about in this piece was the example of Herb Kohl retiring. The late Herb Kohl, in May of 2011, Herb Kohl announced that he was going to be retiring at the end of his term. And now this is right after Democrats got absolutely cooked in the 2010 midterms. You know, Scott Walker won, Ron Johnson won, Republicans flipped the state legislature. So holding that seat in 2012 was far from a sure thing. But what happened was Kohl announced that he was retiring. And here's the quote that he said in that news conference announcing his retirement. He said, quote, "The office doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the people of Wisconsin, and there is something to be said for not staying in office too long." So, does Tony Evers want his legacy to be more like that of Herb Kohl, who has a pretty unimpeachable legacy at this moment and got to spend his golden years riding shotgun in the car leading the Milwaukee Bucks championship parade? Or do you want your legacy to be that like that of Joe Biden, who is now spending his time dodging questions about whether or not he was mentally competent while in office, whether or not he was covering that up, and whether or not that contributed to the rise of fascism in America?
Wow. I love every part of this. I love every part. Dan Schaefer stirring it up. Jenny, watching on YouTube as well, says, because earlier before the break, my argument was, I'm afraid the Democrats are going to mess this up and nominate somebody who's way too progressive to win in a general election. Jenny says, everything Todd is saying is exactly the conversation Democratic voters should be included in and justifies Dan's article, exclamation point.
I think we have to be having this conversation. This has to be a conversation that comes out of the behind the scenes, off the record type of stuff to actually publicly having this conversation. I think Democrats are so afraid of their own shadow at sometimes that, you know, I saw some comments out there saying, oh, you know, this is only going to be used by Republicans to sow discord among Democrats. No. Do you think this conversation is not happening in some capacity? We all know this conversation is happening. Yes. And to stand there and, you know, don't move, otherwise Republicans will notice that Tony Evers is old. Come on, get rid of
it. You and I both, people have talked to both of us off the record, and these conversations have been happening for a year or plus all around the state of Wisconsin and in the Democratic Party. Look, I want to get to this. Gene, I see you in Eau Claire. I know where Gene is at. She's a big fan of Governor Tony Evers. She likes to say he's a workhorse, not a show horse. Gene, we'll get you in hour two, but I want to get your take on this. We don't have time for the clip, but Ken Martin, the DNC chair of the National Democratic Party, was caught on tape. It was released by Politico. We played it yesterday. And basically, Ken Martin is saying, I don't know if I want to do this anymore because of all the infighting out in D.C. That, to me, is just, again, Democrats have a problem nationally right now, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's going great with Ken Martin. Just bang up job there. You know, and this is part of the issue. If you can't bring together if you're thrown off by some disagreement within Democrats, like, how did you not see that coming? This is the big tent party. There's going to be a lot of differing opinions and all of that. And to not, you know, see this type of thing coming is another part of the problem.
Big Democratic convention, right? The Dells, are they part of the text to win contest? They're having their convention of the Dells this weekend. For a long time, everybody thought Joe Zepecki was a shoo-in, but then Wickler, the current chairman, reversed, I'm not going to endorse anybody. Then he endorses his lieutenant. How's this going to, once again, Wisconsin Democrats snatching victory or defeat from the jaws of victory. Let's hold the vote on Father's Day. Boy, that was a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to being, I'm going to be there in the Dells covering the vote. So I'll be there spending part of my Father's Day covering that vote. It's going to be a ranked choice vote, which I think is kind of interesting, the having the three candidates and,
really?
And having a ranked choice vote. So that will be interesting. None of the other officers have contested races. So like, for example, Sarah Godlewski is running for first vice chair. She is going to win that race because there is no one else running for first vice chair. So the actual chair race, it's going to be really interesting to follow. You know, it'll be interesting to see how impactful Wickler's endorsement was, if that may have backfired, how exactly this is all going to play out. And I'm looking forward to everybody there being super thrilled with me.
I feel so bad for you. Yes or no, can Wickler still become the DNC chair? Can Martin be thrown out?
I mean, I would love to see it.
Me too.
I'd love to see
me
it.
Me too. And yeah. Finally, no bigger Bucks fan than you. Giannis staying in Milwaukee or no?
I think he's staying.
Yes, you heard it here first. Check him out at the recombobulation area. Mr. Dan Schaefer, thank you so much. Appreciate you, my friend.
Thanks for having me, Todd. Be well.
Always a pleasure.
Up next on the Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show, Friday's conversation with Lisa Hale and Pete Schwabba. Stay tuned.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. Israel says it's attacking more targets in Iran after Iran launched missiles at Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. One missile that landed south of Tel Aviv killed at least three people. The BBC's Hugo Bashega.
Last night, the Israeli Prime Minister released a video message in which he urged the Iranians to rise up against the regime in Iran.
CBS's Sam Vinograd has more on the timing of Israel's attack.
By all accounts, Iran had enough highly enriched uranium to make about 10 nuclear weapons if it chose to break out to a bomb. It could have done that in a matter of weeks.
CBS's Eleanor Watson reports the U.S. is helping to defend Israel.
Using ground-based air defense systems and at least one Navy warship. The U.S. Navy has two destroyers in the eastern Mediterranean near Israel armed with ballistic missile defense systems and directed a third to head from the western Mediterranean east to be closer to Israel.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Michael Wallace.
Game three of the Cards and Crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. It's the Brewers and the Cardinals to play game three of their four-game series at American Family Field. Jose Quintana will face the Cards' Andre Pallanta. The last night, sixth inning, St. Louis had two base runners in a game tied 2-2. So Pat Murphy came out to the mound to replace Freddie Peralta. But then, at the last moment, the Brewers manager says he changed his mind.
The players play the game. I believe Freddie when he said, I got some more. You know, I wanted to check with him, and I got some more. And Arenado has been really good against Freddie. I think everyone in the ballpark thought we were taking him out. And I think, you know, when I trust a guy, I've been around Freddie for how many years, and I trust him. And I knew that it was a moment for him that he could get through, and that would maybe change some other moments in the future.
Peralta got out of the jam, and the Crew went on to win 3-2. NBA, the Indiana Pacers lost to the Thunder last night, 111-104, the best-of-seven series now tied at two games apiece. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Ted Lasso star Jason Sudeikis learned a lot from his uncle, George Wendt. On a recent episode of the Where Everybody Knows Your Name podcast, actor, writer, producer Brett Goldstein, who plays Roy Kent on Ted Lasso, told Ted Danson that Sudeikis found out about his uncle's death while in the writer's room at Ted Lasso, then added that they matched tears with laughter by watching compilations of George Wendt as Norm. Orlando Bloom is alive and well after his surgery. No reason to panic, Bloom fans. The actor had elective surgery, which was a blood filtering procedure to remove microplastics or forever chemicals from his blood. The procedure is only available at one clinic in London, according to Collider. If you're thinking about checking out this procedure, just know that it costs 10 grand. Let's be honest, most of us will just have to cross our fingers and hope that having Tupperware in our blood isn't as bad as experts say. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs near 66. Clear tonight, 57. Sunshine and near 70 for Sunday. On Monday, a scattered shower or thunderstorm. Otherwise, partly sunny with highs in the low 70s. On Tuesday, scattered showers and storms, 81.
It's 57 at our studios.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome nutritionist and dietitian from Wayless MD, Sherry Stoka. Then Phil Krause, owner of the Time Community Theater in Oshkosh, joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Thanks for sticking around for the best of the Todd Allball Show this week. Here is part of Todd's conversation with Lisa Hale and Pete Schwabba on Friday the 13th.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 35 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock here. Glad to have you along live from Green Bay, WGBW Studios here in downtown Green Bay. As we're wrapping up our show for today on the roads, so many great people. Lisa Hale, the Bureau Chief of Civic Media News here in Northeast Wisconsin, and also the host of the great program on the weekends, New Wisco Weekend, joins us via StreamYard. And here in the Pete Schwabba Studios, the one, the only, the host of Nightlight every evening from 6 until 8, Pete Schwabba is here. How are you?
I'm great, Todd. Great to be here with you, buddy. Thanks for inviting me. I kind of had to come in here anyway, so I hope you didn't feel like obligated.
No, I felt bad asking you to come in early, but it's always great to have you here.
No, it's great to be here. I said in my text to you, if Todd Alba asks, I say how high.
You're too kind. You're way too kind, my friend. Lisa, before we let you go, I just wanted to wrap up. And again, people can hear your great program over the air on WGBW and WISS in Oshkosh every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. and on Sundays at 11 a.m. They can also hear it via the Civic Media app if you tune into GBW or ISS. And, of course, at civicmedia.us as well. What's coming up on the big program this weekend?
Well, as I said, it's Flag Day, so our cover story is Fly Me Flag in Green Bay. We've got a story on the Oshkosh Farmers Market. We've got some stories on, excuse me, I feel like I have to cough. We have stories on reckless driving on the Jolly Roger. That's what Amanda did her commentary on this year. So it's the flag, the Jolly Roger. And, you know, Pete Schwabba is part of New Wisco Weekend. Yeah.
Schwabba's part of this. True. I didn't even plan this.
I'm the only one who contributes who got a signing bonus. I probably shouldn't say that on the air, but.
No, you shouldn't.
Very proud to be part of the show. Lisa's phenomenal. It's a great show.
Yeah. It really is. It really
he
is.
He does a classic cinema pick every week, and he does a very good job of tying it to the theme somehow.
I try.
He does.
Is it going to be like a patriotic pick this week for Flag Day?
Well, it was Flag Day, and I was looking for obviously flag football movies, but there aren't many of those out there. No. So I just went with the actual Flag Day.
All right. Well, looking forward, nervous anticipation to this. Lisa, is there anything I have not asked you so far you'd like to share with our audience about New Wisco Weekend or events happening here in Northeast Wisconsin?
Oh, there's so much I could talk about, but I just say tune into New Wisco Weekend, whether you get it off of a podcast through our website, civicmedia.us, or hear it live on the air. It's a great magazine show, and I think you'll enjoy it.
I certainly do, and I would encourage all of our listeners to check it out as well. You and your team do a great job of putting this together. Thank you for all you do. I know you've joined us before at election nights as well. Lisa Hale, you're part of what makes Wisconsin great, being a part of our great news team all across Wisconsin, but also bringing us these great programs on focusing on Wisconsin culture and things that might get overlooked, but we should all be aware of. So thank you so much, and thank you for taking time to join us today.
Absolutely. I appreciate you, and I'm happy to be here.
Thank you, Lisa. Lisa Hale, everybody. We'll talk to her soon. A host of New Wisco, Wisconsin, New Wisco Weekend, pardon me, and also our Northeast Wisconsin Civic Media News Bureau Chief. Again, here we are in the Schwabba Studios in downtown Greeley. I almost feel like I'm on Nightlight because Pete to my left, and you've got your great producer Conrad on the other side of the glass, fixing himself a nice gin and tonic before the show, which I think is fantastic.
It calms him down. It's a little intimidating being here, isn't it, Tom? Even to a radio veteran yourself.
No, I just always feel like I'm at home, and it's always a lot of fun, A, because you have beautiful facilities up here, the one of two Civic Media studios that have a shower, this one and Hayward.
Oh, Hayward, we have two, by the way.
Yes, you have. Well, you're the only one that has two.
Yeah, we need the showers more here, apparently. We've got serious body odor.
I've showered at the one in Hayward where I covered the Birkenbeiner, but never showered here.
Interesting.
So maybe I'll shower after the show.
It's weird. Like, if you were caught showering here, it might seem strange. Like, if I thought, I'm going to go in there and shower, and somebody walked in, I'd probably feel like a little pervy or something. And why would I? There's a shower there. I should be able to use it, but I feel like I can't.
And, well, there's no curtain on them. Well, that's part of it.
That's part of the fun of showering, though, without a curtain. You never know.
The risk. Exactly. It makes it a little edge.
Exactly.
All right. Well, tell us if you've been on before. We always appreciate it. For those that might not know, your program follows Maggie Dawn's every evening from 6 until 8. It's a great show, Pete. It really
Thank
is.
Thank you.
I enjoy it. It's a great way to wind down the day.
Yeah, I think that was our goal, and it's always fun when you're on. You always make it so much fun, and I was so busy today beforehand. I was thinking, what can I do to make my entrance or my appearance here rival when you come on my show? And I was pressed for time, so I thought black socks and sandals for Father's Day?
Look at that. Beautiful.
Well done. I got the black socks, but I don't own sandals. And I was like, I would have had to go to Goodwill to get a pair of, like, old-time sandals.
Go with my nieces. They're big thrifters.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's all the rage now. The kids love the thrifty. That's just proves my point, Pete Schwabba. You're cool enough. You don't need a gimmick. A schlep like me, it's like the old gypsy. If you're gonna bump it, bump with a trumpet. You know, if you're gonna have a gimmick. If you're gonna get ahead, that's the line from Gypsy. You're big enough. You've been an actor. You've been a writer. You've been a producer. You're a host on PBS. You got your own show here. You don't need a gimmick, Pete Schwabba.
Well, you're very nice, but I'm also still kind of learning radio, and you're like one of the guys I kind of listen to.
Going on breaks.
And yeah, you steered me wrong a couple times, but Conrad has my back in rallies.
That's good.
No, it's I've done all those things, and I've also been a garbage man.
You have?
I have.
I did not know this.
Yeah, after my freshman year in college, I got a job with the city of Marinette. I went home for the summer, and they offered me a job as a street surveyor with another college, with a college girl. So we would measure streets, and that was our job. And here I am. Here's how stupid young people are. I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to show them I'm a go-getter. And we measured this. We had every street measured within like 2.5 weeks. The job was supposed to last all summer.
Really?
Here's what hard work gets you. They stuck me on a garbage truck. They made her do filing, and I had to empty bad meat and milk out of people's garbage cans. It was disgusting. It was horrible.
You could have spent the summer measuring with a hot chick, and instead you're stuck in a garbage truck.
I know. What is the matter with me? Like, that's why you have to take, you know, when older people give you advice, folks, you have to take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
Because if I had just kind of coasted, which is what people do now, nobody believes in hard. It's like, you know, why am I busting my butt trying to? it was horrible. And then, and all the city workers hated me, you know, because I was a college kid. And then there was another guy.
Don't make us look bad, dude.
No, exactly. So, it was a brutal summer. But you know what? It taught me not to work hard. So that something good did come out of it, I think.
See, that's why I'm a procrastinator, because oftentimes things will just take care of themselves.
Right, right.
Exactly. You know, some days I wake up and my sister, who sometimes has traveled with me for this show, and some days I wish she goes, well, what's your show about today? I'm like, I'm not sure. And you wake up and there's not a show, and then something will happen. I'm like, now you got a show.
Right.
That's the beauty of it.
And if you had worked hard the night before, you wouldn't have been able to watch that Three Is Company marathon on Nick at Night.
Exactly.
It all works out.
We're talking with Pete Schwabba. He is the host of the fantastic program Nightlight every evening on this radio network from 6 until 8.
Pete, let's talk a little bit of entertainment. Big week, unfortunately, in bad ways for music. We lost Sly Stone. I was listening to Matt Nair and Air with our great friend Jane Matt Nair.
Yeah.
And as she rarely does, but I always do, she stumbled over words and she said, "We lost Sly Stallone this week." I'm like, "What? I didn't hear that part."
That would have been an easier one to take. Right.
Yeah, exactly. But no, Sly Stone. And then we lost Brian Wilson, really the voice of the brains, if I can, behind the Beach Boys.
Yeah, that was a bit. I mean, you know, they were both in their 80s. It wasn't like they weren't tragic losses, but still losses. And it makes you, I mean, to me, I just watched the Sly Lives documentary recently. That guy, I mean, Sly Stone was such a visionary. And I had no idea. Like, I liked his music. I thought he was this charismatic guy. I knew nothing, though, about how influential he was to people like Prince and the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Stevie Wonder, and just a phenomenal talent. And then Brian Wilson, too. That guy was like the voice of a generation, so to speak. And another thing I didn't know about Brian Wilson until I was probably in my 30s was that he was considered a musical genius. Like, their music sounds so easy and carefree. And it's like, oh, yeah, they just sing about. No, he was a phenomenal musician and absolutely brilliant. So two huge losses in the music world.
It really was. And I, to your point, I mean, I knew who Brian Wilson was. But I'm a big fan of Anthony Mason at CBS, who's done a lot of stuff for CBS Sunday Morning. He's really a true music entertainment guy.
Yeah.
And they replayed this week an interview that he had done with Brian Wilson some years back. And I didn't realize how much Paul McCartney in particular, but the Beatles, really respected and looked up to Brian Wilson. And they released the Sgt. Pepper album after the, album.
Beach Boys. I just to chime in here, the Beatles had a legendary pioneering production team. So did the Beach Boys because of Brian Wilson. Like, if you look at the song Good Vibrations, that one alone took, if I recall, like $70,000 and like 8 months of studio recording across the country in four or five different studios to record the one song.
Wow.
That's crazy.
When I heard that Paul McCartney looked up to Brian Wilson, I mean, you know that the guy has legit musical cred.
And that's how I think a lot of people in the music industry looked up to him like that. Again, and I didn't know that. Like, I'm not, I know music. I have eclectic tastes. I like a little bit of everything, but I don't know. I've never done a deep dive until I got into my 30s and some of these people. And it's just, you really appreciate their contributions.
What would you say, Pete Schwabe, what's your wheelhouse of entertainment? What genre, what part of entertainment do you say, boy, that's the one I really know best, or I like to talk about the best on the show or otherwise?
Tap dancing?
Really? I did not know that.
I wish I could tap dance. No, probably, I started in the business as a stand-up comedian, and then I kind of segued into comedy writing. So I would say probably comedy. But, you know, I also, like, growing up, I loved, like, Woody Allen, Albert Brooks, these kind of, these comedians that wrote their own films, starred in them, and directed them. And I got to do that with my film, The Godfather of Green Bay. So certainly not to the degree of success that those guys had, but those were my influences growing up. I just loved comedy. I loved stand-up, sketch, funny movies, and TV. So that's kind of been what I've done my whole adult life. And the great thing about Nightlight is I get to talk about those experiences and have some of those people on the show at night to, like you said, help people kind of wind down at the end of the day after we, especially now with what's going on in the world and in our country. I mean, talking politics could be stressful enough just when you're coming from this side and this person's coming from this side. But now what's happening, it's like you really need an escape, you know? And so much so, Todd, it's so contentious right now. I almost feel like I shouldn't be talking about some of this stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, but I think people do need an escape.
I was watching After Midnight, the show that comes on after Colbert on CBS. It just got canceled, actually.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Now I'm blanking on her name. Taylor Tomlinson. Yeah. And I've heard that she's a spectacular comedian, like a stand-up in a club. But I don't want to go into it, but I think the show was ill-conceived. It was a low budget and just a weird show. So that's canceled. But she came on, I think it was Monday, and she's like, "Yeah, this is the last week of our show." But she's like, she was, you could tell it's the last week because now she's really good because she's saying what she really thinks.
Yeah,
and she's like, you know, I honestly don't want to do this crap right now. I don't feel like I should be joking about this when all this stuff is going on right now.
But all the more reason, you know, you can't. I mean, I make the mistake sometimes of looking at the most toxic, like Twitter. It's just, it's like nobody commenting. They're all spewing such hate and they don't have the real names, their real pictures or anything like that. So
you know, all the more reason. I look at that right before I go to bed, and then I need a sitcom or something to wind me down, you know, so.
You can wind down every night with Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. We'll come back, talk with more with him and Conrad. We're live from WGBW in downtown Green Bay on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Tarrant County, Texas County Commissioners approved a new county redistricting map June 3rd, diluting the votes of Black and Hispanic voters. But commissioners claim the gerrymandering was for political, not racial reasons. The map likely eliminates a majority-minority district and has drawn widespread condemnation and a Voting Rights Act lawsuit. County Commissioners and Senior County Official Judge Tim O'Hare brought in the Conservative Public Interest Legal Foundation and the National Republican Redistricting Trust to draw the map, according to reporting by Democracy Docket. Their efforts apparently manipulated the districts to gain another GOP County Commission seat and a 4-to-1 advantage. Analysis by the UCLA Voting Rights Project and Southern Methodist University found the approved map packed District 2 Black and Hispanic voters into District 1, reducing the chance a Black or Hispanic candidate would be elected in District 2. Because the county staggers election cycles for different districts, it also disenfranchised as many as 150,000 voters, heavily Black and Hispanic, who can't vote in their current district's 2026 election and must wait until 2028. Voters sued under the VRA and the 14th and 15th Amendments. The commissioners claim that they gerrymandered for political advantage, to which the Supreme Court turns a blind eye, and not racial discrimination. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
We need a fun listener name, something the followers of the show can call themselves. I thought, how about Couch Potatoes?
Potatoes?
I said it as a joke, and Todd cracked up. He goes, I love that. Whatever it is, folks, embrace your inner couch potato. We are not meant to work in the farms and hunt food. We were 1,000 years ago. But now, I think God wants us to sit back and be entertained.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live in downtown Green Bay.
Thanks for sticking around for this weekend's Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show. We're going to wrap up with the rest of Todd's conversation with Pete Schwabba of Nightlight. Nightlight is one of our great civic media programs all about entertainment, music and movies and TV. Check it out on weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. If you want more, you can head to civicmedia.us/shows or go anywhere else to get your podcasts. You can also watch the streams on YouTube.
Followed by Nightlight. With the one, the only Pete Schwabba, he is here in his own studio here in Green Bay with us, along with his great producer, Conrad, on the other side of the glass. Gentlemen, thank you for letting us borrow your studio for a day.
Well, thanks
for... Actually, two.
As it turned out. It's great to have you here. I know you've been here before, Todd. Yeah. It's like you're kind of an old pro here when it comes to Green Bay. You've done your show everywhere in the state.
But... I'm like the bad penny that keeps showing up. Oh, God, not him again. You know? We were talking a little bit in the last segment there. Of course, Pete's show, as we said, airs every night from 6 until 8. We were talking about Taylor Tomlinson a little bit. And I mean, how is... your show, one of the reasons I love your show, and I don't mean to suck up or anything here, but I truly mean this, is that it has a little bit of that Carson vibe to it, Letterman vibe, because it's truly, you have people on, because of your connections in Los Angeles and across Wisconsin, you have legit people in entertainment, and not just actors or directors, producers or song, all, comedians, all those people, right. And you have the time enough to have real conversations, and I love that about the show.
You know, I like doing that. I first of all, since I've been doing the show, we've been on for like a year and a half, maybe almost. Mm-hmm. And I have been floored at the amount of talent in Wisconsin, whether it's comedically, comedy, music. Terry Barr comes on every Friday night. She's on vacation. Rocker comes on tonight for a bar band Friday night. And the music I've found just from local artists and the comedy from local comedians, even comedians in Wisconsin, but specifically because I do the show here in Northeast Wisconsin. Some great comics. So it's kind of made it easy. So, yeah, it's fun to have people on from all over the country or people I've known a long time and kind of do a deep dive into, you know, what makes you funny or how do you write your jokes, that kind of stuff. Right. But it's been great to talk to more local artists as well. You know,
I've said this before on the show, but it bears repeating because I love the story. My stepmom, who is over in Shawano, and she'll listen to our show occasionally, but when you joined the network, we had a conversation. I said, oh, Pete Schwabba's going to be doing this show. She went, Pete Schwabba? You mean the guy that does this show on public television? Oh, and I said, yeah. And she said, oh, I want to listen to that.
Oh, that's
I mean, your work there, I think, is really well. And it's great work as well.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, that was a fun. I watched this show on PBS Wisconsin called Director's Cut. My friend Steve Burrows was on. He had made a film called Chump Change, which was very funny. And, you know, this guy on PBS Wisconsin is interviewing Steve on this show called Director's Cut. I'm like, this is one of the coolest things I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Like, PBS California doesn't have that, where I lived at the time. And when I came back, I had made this film called The Godfather of Green Bay. And I sent it to them. And I said, hey, I'd love to do your show. And they said, okay, we'll have you on. And then the host stepped down. And I took over shortly after moving back here. And when I went on as a guest, I had my pal Lance Barber come on with me, who was in The Godfather of Green Bay. And he happened to be in the Midwest at the time. And so we did the show together, and it was just a blast. So I did that for about 10 years, and now we still do episodes periodically, and we do a Wisconsin Film Festival episode. But most of my duties there now are writing the intros for Independent Lens and POV.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So I write them, and then I introduce them. But it's not – rarely do I get the chance to be funny or say – you know, because some of these documentaries are so heavy.
Right.
And a lot of them are from foreign countries, and you got to research everything. So it's kind of become a different gig, but it's really fulfilling. I really like it.
I got more. I went to Wisconsin Film Festival this year. I mean, one other time, but you know, two people I know, John Roach had his great film, powerful film.
Oh, that was great.
Was it Alone? No.
A Road at Night.
A Road at Night. Thank you. The story of Howard Moore and the tragedy of his family going through that car accident. And then our friends at Just a Bit Outside of the story, the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers, which I have the DVD in my hot little hands, Sean Hannish and Kelly Call, great story of the Brewers. That was also at the Wisconsin Film Festival. And so there's so many Wisconsin-based people or people from Wisconsin that do great film.
Oh, man. It was this year in particular was fun because I got to meet John. He was on Director's Cut for our episode.
Yeah, Roach, fantastic guy.
And that documentary made me proud to have an association with Wisconsin. Like, I didn't go to UW-Madison. My brother Andrew did, but I was like, oh my God, that film, the first part of it made me want to go back in time and go to UW-Madison.
Right, yeah.
And then it gets very heartfelt at the end and there's a tragedy, but what an incredible story that was. And then Sean and Kelly, I got to hang out with a couple times just at the after parties and they were great guys. Like I met Sean through you. You had him on your show. We had him on Nightlight a couple times. He did the popcorn pick of the week 1 week. And then I met Kelly at the film festival, and I just really enjoy talking to those guys. So they're having fun being back in Wisconsin, and I had fun just meeting them and talking to them about the business. So it was a blast.
Conrad, best part of working with Pete on Nightlight, or worse, whichever you want.
The end of the night when I get to go home.
Wow! The end of the night when he gets to... You can't buy that kind of loyalty.
Like, where this is going.
No, you guys are great together, and that's part of the... You know, you clearly do get along, like to work with each other, and that's another part of the show that I enjoy as well.
Conrad writes a 2-hour script every night, and then I hack the hell out of it. He gets mad at me, and he storms out, and then we have to get it back together before we go in there.
We have a good time. Up tonight?
We've got an actress from the UP, Stephanie Gurnow, who does a lot of horror film acting. She's on the show at 6:35. Comedian Steve Hofstetter at 7:05. And then it's a bar band Friday night. Rocker is filling in for Terry for the third week in a row.
Wow.
Terry Barr will be back next week, but she's
off for the Penguins, right? I think something like that.
I've been tracking her all over the globe because I put a bug on her car. And she's driving
around
driving
the world.
I didn't know the world. But Terry will be back next week, but she's having a blast. So.
Well, many thanks, not just to you, but thank you very much, Pete Schwabe. Listen to him tonight from 6 until 8 on Nightlight. Conrad, thanks for all your work the last couple of days as well. Want to shout out to Todd Michaels, the GM here in Green Bay and Oshkosh. Also to Amanda, Eliza, all the other crew here at Green Bay for making this happen this week. Really appreciate you guys doing a great job up here. And Lisa Hale for coming on the show as well today. And Zabra's back home. We'll be back there on Monday. And to everyone else at Civic Media who made this show go, thank you so much. And all a big thanks to all of you who are listening and watching.
That's all for this week's Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show. As always, if you want to hear the rest of the week's shows, you can go to civicmedia.us/shows or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And as Todd always says, whatever you believe in, whatever you're fighting for, do not give up. Keep banging your drum.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by T-Mobile Business Advantage.
I'm Michael Wallace. Israel is launching more attacks on Iran after some Iranian missiles made it through Israel's Iron Dome, killing at least three people south of Tel Aviv. Israeli Brigadier General Effie Defrin heard through an interpreter.
We're working with full collaboration with our partners around the world, but I will not expand on who they are.
Iran has said it will retaliate against countries that help Israel. Iran's top diplomat calls scheduled nuclear talks between the U.S. and Iran unjustifiable after Israel's attack. CBS's Aaron Navarro.
Multiple U.S. officials tell CBS News that special envoy Steve Witkoff still intends to do that sixth round of talks in the coming days with Iranian officials. Still to be determined where that exactly would happen, what that exactly looks like. Trump portrayed it as Iran, quote, having a second chance. But the Iranian foreign minister said that Israeli aggression against Iran has, quote, diverted the course of diplomacy. So it remains to be seen whether Iran wants